Well, Impact Church, today we're beginning a new message series called Love, Intimacy, and Relationships. Amen. This entire month of February, we're going to be dealing with relationships. Relationships are important. If you don't succeed in your relationships, you will take 7 steps forward and 10 steps backwards every time. And I'm so happy and privileged today that the one and only, my Vanilla, my wife, is going to preach with me today and teach the word of God. I honor my wife. I respect my wife. I love my wife. So help me honor my wife today and celebrate her.
Hey, everyone. I am so happy to be here. I'm super excited to see all of you wonderful people and to minister with my husband, my best friend, and just share this message on marriage with you, to you. I'm really happy to be here. So marriage is really passionate and dear to our hearts, and we just pray that you'll be strengthened and blessed by this message today.
Amen. Before I preach, I want to honor a great man of God here, Juan and his wife, Jeline. Yeah. Hang on. Pause, Biden. They lead our worship team here. They're amazing leaders. They just do so much. This is the first time they're literally just sitting in service since we started this church. So y'all give them a hug today and celebrate them. We honor them. Please stand, guys. Please stand. Stand so people can see you. Turn around. Come on, let's honor this man of God and his lovely wife and the great job they do here. Amen. What an amazing man of God and woman of God. People of prayer. Amen. Wonderful. Well, today we're going to talk about doing marriage God's way. Somebody say, doing marriage God's way. We're going to talk about doing marriage God's way. And then next week, for the first time, I'm going to address single people. We're going to talk about dating. Amen. So invite somebody who's single, who's dating or believing God for a husband in the future or a wife and all that stuff. Now, married people, next Sunday is not the Sunday to stay home. Because how many people know that there's a lot of things that these young people are doing as they are dating that we married people have forgotten to do? There's going to be a lot of principles that are going to help you even next week, even those people that are married already. So come out. It's going to be a great service. And then on third Sunday, we're going to talk about relationships as well, just some secrets on relationships. And on fourth Sunday, it's going to be Vision Sunday. Somebody say Vision Sunday. So it's going to be awesome. Amen. Yeah.
So you may be wondering, okay, why do they always talk about marriage? We talk about marriage a lot because we have seen what God has done through our lives. God has healed us. He has delivered us. At the beginning of our marriage, we went through a really rough time, and we needed God to do a work through us. And so we have seen how much God has done in our lives, and so we don't want to hold it in. We want to let it out, and we want to be able to help as many people as we can.
Amen. Our starting was really rough. Our beginning was crazy. I'm an African boy right here. Amen. She's an Italian girl right there. Amen. And man, differences in culture, differences in races, differences in, I grew up in the church. I'm a PK. I'm a third generation church planter. She grew up a heathen, you know. And so... So we were different. We had all these differences. And so, man, it was just rough. The beginning was rough. I mean, literally, we didn't think we were going to make it. Those times she'd be chasing me down the road with pots and pans. And, I mean, literally, she had a real intense Italian temper. But God's done a work. God's done a work in me, too. And so we're really passionate about marriages. We are really passionate about marriages. God has done a work in us. He's healed us. And we believe that God can heal you. You know, today, over 50% of marriages fall. Divorce is at over 50% today. Yeah. And statistics also say that 30 years ago, over 80% of adults were married. Today, under 50% of adults are married. People are giving up on marriages. People are not interested in marriages. It's difficult. Marriages are breaking down. But I believe that one of the reasons why marriages are breaking down is because marriage was invented by God, but we try to do it our own way. How many people know it's God who invented marriage? He started marriage. This computer here was invented by Apple. This iPad here was invented by Apple, by Steve Jobs. And so if we want to fix this thing, we have to take it back to Apple, right? And that's what's happening. Most people are trying to deal with their marriages and fix their marriages and do marriage their own way. But this thing is God's invention. And so if we're going to be successful, we have to do marriage God's way. And today we're going to give you three powerful principles from the Word of God on what God said on how to do marriage.
Another way that doing marriage God's way is it takes commitment. We all know that. It takes commitment. It takes hard work. Not one foot in and one foot out and, okay, I have an escape plan, you know, a plan B behind me. None of that. 100% in. You've got to give it all. When you got married, that wedding day, there was a threefold covenant that was placed between you and your spouse and God. And so God takes that very seriously, that covenant. When we were first married, again, we made a lot of mistakes. We would throw around the D word. We would throw around the divorce word. And every time that word was spoken, it cut into us. It hurt us. Because that word communicates, I'm not all the way in. You don't really have all of me. And it hurt. And we made a choice not to use that word anymore.
Yep. If you destroy marriages, if you destroy a marriage, you destroy a family. If you destroy a family, you destroy a community. If you destroy a community, you destroy the nation. This church is only as strong as the marriages are in this church. Because if the marriages are not strong, the families are not strong, and this church will not be strong. What's a strong church? It's a church where the marriages are strong and the families are strong. Amen. So we are believing God for strong marriages at Impact Church in Jesus' name. And I want to announce to you, you just walked into a no divorce zone today in Jesus' name. Amen. You got no chance now. You got no chance. Forget those divorce papers. It's not happening because God's presence in this place to heal you. The God who healed us Amen. Is going to heal you as well.
Amen. We want you to know that everything that we're talking about today, it applies to all relationships. So if you're here and you're not married, that's okay. These are biblical principles, which mean they apply to every relationship that you do have, whether it's with your siblings, with your kids, with coworkers, aunts, uncles, grandparents, whatever it may be. So just listen, tune up, and we're going to have something for you.
Here we go. So we're going to give you three principles from the Word of God. Number one, please write down these notes. Take notes. We're going to give you a lot of points here today. We're going to take time. We want you to bring something home. Amen. If you're going to do marriage God's way, number one, you've got to have a vision for your marriage. You've got to have a vision for your marriage. Somebody say vision. One more time. Somebody say vision.
Vision.
Without the vision, the people perish. The Bible also says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 29, verse 18, where there's no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You've got to have a vision. It also, the Bible also says in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 23, this was Adam describing and speaking out vision for his marriage. As the husband, he began to declare vision. He says, this one is born from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She'll be called woman because she was taken from man. He was speaking out vision. If you don't have a vision, how are you even going to know whether you've arrived at your destination or not? You've got to have a vision. You've got to have a picture. What are you aiming at? Where are you trying to go? And before we had a vision, we were struggling. We were struggling with so many things because we both had all these different expectations and we just didn't know where are we going, what are we doing. Here's an African boy. I'm just doing stuff the way I saw my parents do stuff. And she's doing stuff the way she saw her parents do stuff. And there was chaos. And so if you're a couple in this place, if you're married and you've not written out a vision yet, this is going to be a great time to do that. This week is going to be a good week to come together and literally write it down. Because the Bible says in the book of Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 2, it says write down the vision. Somebody say write down. Write down the vision so that those who read it may run. You're not going to run. You're not going to be successful if you don't actually write it down and have it for your family.
So we don't want you to be scared of this word vision. Vision is actually very practical. When you get married, you come in, your spouse comes into the relationship with one set of expectations, right? That's normal. And then your husband and then your wife comes into the relationship with another set of expectations. And that's completely normal. But what is not normal is for you to continue to live with different expectations. And so you need to bring both of those expectations together and you need to decide upon one of them. And then you are going to agree upon a vision. And that vision is going to make things clear for you and direct. You'll have a clear, direct vision to run with. And it's going to create peace. It's going to create health in the home. And so it's super important for you to make sure that you do have a vision. So again, when at the beginning of our marriage, I had a vision that I wanted to sit down at family meals 7 days a week. Well, that's kind of unrealistic in today's day, right? So we tried, I had the expectation, be home every night. We got to sit down every single night. Well, it wasn't realistic, especially with the kind of job he had. He worked in music and production, and he had different kind of work hours. So instead of me nagging him and, you know, calling him and texting him, when are you coming home, honey? Come on. And him feeling like he's letting me down, we came together, talked about it, and had agreed upon vision.
In the same way, I'm a guy. Any dude out there? Dudes, come on. Any dudes, don't leave me hanging. I had a vision, brother. I thought, you know, listen, I was a young Christian young man. I you know, I was waiting to get married, and all of a sudden I'm married, brother. I thought, man, we're going to get intimate every single day, you know, three times a day, like a prescription, you know. And so she wasn't always there, you know what I'm saying, fellas, right? I started getting disappointed because that was my expectation. This is going to happen every single day. And so, people of God, we had to come together yet again and bring a vision, her expectation, my expectation. And I was very smart, brothers. I started with the number very high. Like, honey, I'm believing God for this number every week. And she was like, how about this number? And I was like, yeah, there we go. That's the number I wanted in the first place. You start. I know how to buy cars, man. I know how you gotta do this thing like you're buying a car. You gotta start from somewhere. So she said, okay, I know it's a low number, but we can go with this. And I was like, yes, thank you, Jesus. I can do that. But we had to make this become our vision. And so now we know that every week we're supposed to come together. I'm not gonna give you my number. No. No, y'all prayed for God to give you your own number. All right, somebody's looking like, no, is it going? No, not gonna. But we had a number, and people of God, we don't meet that number every week. Many times we do, but we don't meet it every week. But even when we don't, we know we have a vision. We remind ourselves, if you don't do that, you're going to go 6 months, you're going to be married for 10 years, and you're going to realize you only came together three times, and it's happening. So you've got to have a vision. Somebody say amen.
Amen. So how do we get healthy expectations and healthy visions? How do we do that? Well, you need to communicate, and you got to be honest. The biggest word here in marriage is honesty. You need to make sure that you're being honest with yourself first, and then you're being honest with your spouse. And so communicate that and be honest with each other and vulnerable with each other about what your needs are and your expectations, and that is going to help you set a clear vision with right motives.
Yep, and a good vision has to have goals. Please write that down. It's got to have goals, it's got to have steps, and it's got to have tasks. If you write a good vision and you don't have goals and steps and tasks, that vision is just like a signpost. It's not going to take you anywhere. You've got to be very practical. That vision has to be tangible. So today, we're going to give you some of the goals and tasks and steps that are on our vision. Would you like to get a little inside scoop on our vision? Anybody? So we're going to give you a few things. The first thing that we decided to do to come out of this difficult place. Now, I've got to tell you guys, we were at a very bad place. We were at a very dark place. Did I say we were at a dark place? We were at a very dark place. When you see us here, I don't want you to just think we just have it easy. We just have it perfect. We're just meant for each other. Yes, we were. But this has taken work. We were in a hard place. We were ready to quit. I was ready to get to go to Logan Airport and fly back to Africa, fly back to the bush. I was done. I was ready. It was tough. It was crazy. But we had to start believing God for some things. So the first thing that's on our vision, the first thing that we decided to do was that we were going to pray together daily. We're going to pray together daily because this marriage is not just a union between two people, but how many people know this is a thing between three parties, and the third party is God. And many times people find themselves in trouble because they don't consult God to do something that was created by God himself. So we made a point. We said, we're going to pray together daily. And listen, we don't pray for like hours a day. We committed to just 5 minutes. 5 minutes only. Before I leave the house, we embrace. And I pray for my wife and she prays for me. And we give our lives to God and we commit our kids. And we start with God. And we found out every time when we're praying, there's no conflicts. The conflicts are lower. Even when we fight, we're able to deal with each other a little better. But I'll tell you, some of the most difficult seasons we've gone through are when we're not praying. Now, once again, it's a vision. We don't always pray every single day. There are times and there are weeks where we fall off a little bit. But because we have it as a vision, we always remind ourselves it's clear and it's a vision.
Yeah, we also have a vision, as my husband mentioned earlier, on how many times per week we're going to be intimate. And so that was definitely something that we had to talk about and come on the same page with. And so it's super important for you to make sure you're talking about even those areas of your life. I need to let you know, and I'm just going to speak directly to the women and the wives in this room right now. Listen, this is such an important need. It's important for us, but it is also especially important for the men.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I've learned this over our 11 years.
Please say that again.
11 years of being married. It's important. Listen, men are very visual, and that's not a mistake. God did that on purpose. And so first thing I want to say is don't use keeping sex as a punishment. Don't do that. There's been times that we haven't even been getting along, and we say, you know what, let's just come together. Let's be intimate. And I'll tell you, it's a beautiful thing. It is. It's God is in it. It's a beautiful thing. And so when you're sending your husbands out there, and he's going out and he's bombarded in today's day and the craziness and the mess and the billboards and what's on TV and whatever else is going on, you are actually equipping him. That weapon of intimacy, it's a weapon. It's a tool. And even before we go to the beach, we'll be like, let's make some love, you know, before you go to the beach. Because I'm telling you, when you take care of your man and you go out there, everybody else looks like a cow. Everyone. He's just thinking, whoa. He's just replaying
that
like
that. Deep. That's
he's
deep.
Just replaying
Come
that
on, fellas,
time
amen
together.
To that. Somebody help
okay?
me out. Woo! That was deep. That was deep.
So we have a vision for intimacy.
Woo! Now you know why I'm anointed. I'm well taken care of. I got the anointing of God. I'm telling you, I ain't struggling around looking at everything that goes through because my wife takes care of me. Somebody say amen to that. Hallelujah. Now that's the anointing. Amen. Sometimes as Christians, we're too spiritual. You want to be a spiritual woman? Take care of your home. Take care of your husband. Amen. Hallelujah. The other thing we have on our vision is monthly dates. And there are times where we do actually more dates than just once a month. But, you know, there are times, especially like even this season right now, we're in a season where most of the people who help us with babysitting, I've been occupied with other things. So we've not had our January date. We actually missed our January date. But we know that we missed it. We're going to try to make it up, but it's there. It's a vision.
We also have a vision for weekly meetings. These weekly meetings are so refreshing. Okay, ladies, again, we know we like to talk. Right? We know we like to chit-chat. Boop, boop, boop. We want to talk about everything. Well, I would try and grab him all the time. He'd come home from work. Hey, can we talk about this? No, it's not a good time. He's sitting down to eat. Is this a good time? No, don't mess with your man when he's trying to eat. Let him eat. Let him eat. Just let him eat. When he's done and
Thank
he's full
again.
And he's
Thank
good,
you.
Then talk to him, okay? Remember that. So we have weekly meetings. There was never a good time. Why was there never a good time to sit down and talk about things? Because we didn't create a good time. So once we got on the same page and he knew Thursday mornings, that's when we have our day, Thursday mornings we're going to sit down and we're going to talk about this, 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 and this, then he was ready to go. So a vision for weekly meetings.
Same here. I felt bad because I really wanted to talk to my wife, but there was never a good time. I'd come home and I'm busy and I'm just tired, long day of work. And she wants to talk to me, and I'm not ready. In the morning, I just was never ready. I just really could never be ready to talk. And she was always trying to get me. So we have this appointment now. Every Thursday mornings, we have a marriage staff meeting. We have a family staff meeting. We come together. What do we need to do this week? What do the kids need? What should we do? When are we paying this and paying that? When are we taking care of this? I mean, we talk about everything, even some impact church stuff. What should we do with this? And so we are able to sit down. I bring my own list as well, and she brings her list. Mm-hmm. And every week we're able to be on the same page because we have a goal and a vision to come together every week. Mm-hmm. And have a meeting.
Yeah, I had to learn that it wasn't that he didn't care, because that's how I was feeling. You just don't care. So I learned it wasn't that he didn't care. We just had to prioritize and make a weekly meeting.
Yep. The other thing, too, that we do is family dinners. If you want to talk about that.
Sure. Yeah. So like I said before, we have family dinners. So we made a vision that we have family dinners 5 times a week. And so he'll come home, 3 days during the week, and then we'll have the weekends. Yep. And, yeah.
Yep, so that was important, especially to her. She wanted me to be there every time. So I said, okay, what are the nights that we can actually do that? And it's important, especially we have 4 kids. It's very important. I'll tell you, one of the most powerful times as a family is when you eat together. Amen, somebody? So every Monday, every Wednesdays, and every Fridays, I get home to eat. And then, of course, over the weekends, on Tuesdays, I pray. I pray for you guys, Impact. And Thursdays, I pray for you guys as well. And she allows me to be at the office, and I'm able to pray. I'm an African man. I got to pray, man. I put in 10 good hours of praying on Tuesdays and Thursdays because I want to see God to move in this place. Hallelujah. But we have a vision. So the other thing, I'm going to say a few things that are on our vision. We also have a vision to eat right. Amen. Amen, somebody. We have a vision to eat right. We want our kids to eat right. We want them to be healthy. I want to be cuddling with my wife when I'm 95. Amen. Take my dentures out and kiss her. And so if we're going to stay alive for that long, we need to be healthy. It's a vision for us. We go all the way in. We don't keep anything. We don't guess about anything. We talked about, she told me, what kind of body weight she was dreaming or having believing God for me. And I told her the same. I said, yeah, you can work out, do some Zumba, lose some weight, but keep a little something on, So but we eat right. We eat right and we feed our kids. And that's a vision. We've put it somewhere. This is how we're going to feed our kids. Because I tell you, if you don't feel good, if you don't feel right, if you're eating the wrong stuff, you're going to get agitated and you're going to fight more than you've ever done before.
We also have a vision for seeing a marriage counselor, and this is something we've talked about here before. Seeing a marriage counselor is super important, and we realized that at the beginning, he did not want to go, okay? I know men. I know it's hard. I know you don't want to go. You don't want to sit there and pour out your stuff to some stranger, but I'll tell you, it's worth it, and I was so glad when he finally decided, all right, honey, I'll go, because he was saying, you know what? You're more important to me than my pride, and I'm going to do this. And it has been such a blessing that he's like, okay, when are we going back? We're going back. Now he's like thankful for it. When you have somebody on the outside looking in who has had years of experience, it is amazing the things that you can start pulling out and start to get through. And so we have a vision to see marriage counselor.
And these are all written out. These are all written out. The other thing we have is we wanted to be people who are resting. Most people fight more when they're stressed out. Matter of fact, statistics say that most of the diseases in our nation come up as a result of stress. People are stressed. When you're stressed, you're going to fight. You're going to fight for no reason. Why are we even fighting right now? We're not even upset at each other, but we're fighting because we're stressed out. So we take a weekly Sabbath. Every week we take a Sabbath. I take my time alone to myself. I hang out. I chill. I eat stuff. And I watch Italian movies, and I just hang out. No ministry, no reading this, or preparing messages. I just hang out. And she does the same. She takes Monday nights. She goes to Barnes & Noble somewhere. She gets a frappuccino, whatever it is, and she just sits down.
Chai latte.
And she reads magazines and just chills. And so we're intentional about that. And I take the kids, and she can be able to go out and just take time so we can recuperate. Amen?
Amen. Also, we had to agree as a married couple on family day and dates out with the kids. And so now that we have kids, that's another thing we have to have an agreed upon vision. So Saturday is family day, and then we also take the kids out one at a time. Mummy and daughter time, mummy and son time, and then also daddy takes them out. And so it's super important to just invest in our kids in that individual way.
Wonderful. That was all point number one. Let's go to point number two. Point number two is prioritize your marriage. Say that with me. Prioritize. The Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 24, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. Some versions say, and cleave, and they shall become one flesh. Leave and cleave. Please say that with me. Leave. One more time. Here's a tweet. You can't have a first-class marriage if you treat your spouse like a second-grade item. God said, if you're going to do marriage his way and be successful, he says, number one, you have to leave. You're going to have to leave some things. If you're going to cleave, you have to leave. Simply meaning, you know, before you're married, your parents are the most important people in your life. And so when I got married, I had to take my parents who were in front of me and move them behind me. Not disrespect them, but move them behind me. And I had to take this wonderful lady and put her in front of me. And the Bible says she has to be my priority. I don't make decisions anymore without consulting her. There's not stuff I do without her knowing and approving of it. Too many people do that. You consult siblings and consult family members and other people before your wife. And when you do that, you're making a statement that those people are still more important than your wife or your husband. And there's a lot of problems that come in when you do that. So the first thing, prioritize this. Sorry, point number two, prioritize your marriage. And it's twofold. You have to leave and you have to cleave.
So I had to learn to leave also at the beginning, when one day I had this favorite picture and it fell and it broke. And immediately the first person I thought of was my dad, because my dad's a handyman and he's not as handy. I always say, though, he can fix anything he puts his mind to. He just doesn't like doing it. So my dad's like the carpenter, you know.
I can fix some things.
You can fix anything you want. I know you can.
Give me 2 points.
So I went straight to my dad, but I didn't even let him know. And I went straight to him, and I brought that thing home, and I said, whoop, look at this, honey, it's all fixed. And he was like, you know, I didn't talk to him first. I didn't show him the respect as the man of the house to say, hey, honey, do you mind? We agreed that I can bring this to my dad. Now, some of you may be saying, that's crazy. But listen, it shows respect. It really shows respect to talk to him first.
That's part of leaving. To leave is to restructure your relationships and position your spouse in first place, which means I'll go to my spouse first and I'll respect her and I'll honor her in every way. Amen. Now, the other part is to cleave. Somebody say cleave.
Cleave.
Now, it's amazing. I did a study on this, and this word to cleave simply means to chase after. Chase after. Isn't it amazing to chase after? And most people think you're only going to chase after your wife or after your spouse before you're married, when you're trying to get her, when you're trying to get her attention, now you chase. But no, the Bible says if you're going to do marriage God's way, you're going to be chasing her until you die. Keep pursuing her. Keep chasing her. Keep pursuing her.
One way that I learned to cleave, and one thing that I do, is I still leave him love notes. And I'll write him notes, and I'll leave him in his car when he's ready to go off to work with his favorite candy bar, you know, sitting there, just letting him know I love him and I'm thinking about him. And how many of you know there's always new ways to create and think of, to find ways to love on your spouse? Find new ways. Think of new ways. Never stop chasing each other. Never stop doing that. Think of new ways. Google. There's lots of great ideas out there.
Yeah, so true. You know what's crazy? When you're trying to get the attention of your spouse, isn't it amazing the things we do? Anybody remember when we were dating? Amen. We talk about that a lot in our husband's group. I remember one time when I was going to see Michelle before we were married, I literally stopped the car 2 streets before her home, and I stopped and I dropped 20, you know, fresh 20. It's fresh 20. I wanted to show up there, my chest, that T-shirt is ripping off that. I just dropped fresh 20. Fellas, somebody say fresh 20. Fresh 20, baby, just... I mean, I got there, my chest was just about Hulk Hogan style, man. I mean, we do all these things. She was painting our toenails and all this different thing. It's amazing how we become good politicians before you want to get your wife. Because what you're saying is, if you marry me, you're gonna have this kind of chest all the time. And then you get married, and then you grow a big old gut. And she's saying, what happened? You become like a politician. who are saying stuff just to get people to vote for you, and then once you're in, you stop. The Bible says if you're going to do marriage God's way, you cleave, which means you chase for the rest of your life. You chase. And let me just say, can I say something a little more? Women, let me just say, if your man is chasing after you, please make sure you're chaseable.
Amen, amen, women, amen.
Can I say that again? Remain chaseable. Please don't be someone who's chasing somebody away. Remain chaseable. Amen.
Like those pots and pans?
Yeah. Listen, put that fresh makeup on. I mean, I love what my wife does. She stays home most of the time, but when I come back from work, I'm like, hey, where are you going? She's got her makeup on. I mean, she's looking awesome. She's like, yeah, I did this for you. I'm like, hey, man, let's go. Let's do this. You know, this is awesome. I really appreciate that, because there's just something about coming home 7 days a week and the person is wearing the same PJs. Come on, somebody. The same PJs, the same stuff. You know, I really appreciate that. You have to chase for the rest of your life. Stay on top of your game and chase. Come on, somebody. Amen. Amen.
We know all these things aren't going to change right away. Don't be so hard. We want to give you guys these points and let you know that it just takes one choice at a time. Work on them slowly and make sure you do it together as a team. Don't run home and start nagging on each other and saying, see, you got to do that. You got to do this. No, work as a team. This is all about becoming a team and becoming one.
Amen. We're going to go to third point. Point number three. Are you guys still there? Somebody shout three. So point number three is right from the Word of God. Here we go. It's called be naked. Somebody say, be naked.
Be naked.
Come on, let's try that one more time. Be naked. It's from the Word of God. The Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 25, now the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame. Isn't that amazing? Mm. They were naked, but they felt no shame. Mm-hmm. Being naked simply means there has to be absolutely no secrets. You got to be transparent. And sometimes people give up. They're what we call unresolved issues. Here's an issue we're struggling with, and then we just kind of leave it alone. We just leave it alone. Ego and Layla, could you guys come up and help us out? Come on, let's appreciate them. Let's appreciate them. Hallelujah. This is an amazing couple. They do a great work in this church. The Bible says, be naked. They were naked. If you're going to do marriage God's way, God says, be naked. I just read a scripture for you. He says, be naked. Come together in unity. And we're going to give them some instructions in a little bit. He says, be naked. Be honest. Let there be no secrets. And those secrets will hurt you. Those things in the closet, they will hurt you. You've got to come together and be naked. Be absolutely honest with each other and destroy any secrets.
Yeah, amen. Direct honesty and direct resolving of conflicts, it's going to break down walls. So, again, just be honest and communicate.
I want to give you a few points here. Secrets and unresolved issues build up walls of separation in your life. Vulnerability, honesty, and direct resolving of issues destroys those walls, which means you have to be repentant. If your wife or your husband is telling you something over and over and over, and you still are not listening, you're not paying attention, that thing is serious to them. All you're doing is you're building up a wall. Here's another point I want to make. Some people are confrontational, and some are not. If you're not confrontational, you're going to have to learn to bring things up that are bothering you. Just ignoring them does not help. It still builds up a wall. And some people are very confrontational. And if you're that confrontational person, you have to learn to speak truth in love. Speak truth in love. Don't destroy one another. Then the other thing is Adam and Eve. A wall was built in their lives because Eve started entertaining a third voice. The devil came in. And she started entertaining that voice, and there was a wall that was built. As we finish here today, we just want to demonstrate to you what happens in the homes. And this amazing couple here is going to help us. Here's what happens, guys. We're going to build this wall. And this is what happens. In the beginning of our marriage, I never liked her cooking. Matter of fact, she didn't know how to cook. She came from a home, she was a fifth born. She just didn't learn how to cook. And that was a wall for me. That was a serious brick for me. Because I'm an African boy, man. I was raised to believe that one day you get married and then you just sit down and your wife serves you a warm meal. My first day of marriage, there was no warm meal. My wife was boiling eggs and she burnt her eggs. Eggs. I was like, how do you burn eggs? I forgot, the water dried up. I thought I was miserable. Now, it sounds funny, but listen, when you grow up the way I grew up, that breaks you, man. That breaks you. And she started trying to cook all this stuff. Man, she could have killed me. Peppers with
you better hamburger, eat it.
Peppers with hamburger meat in there. She'd tell me to eat. And I'm there trying to eat. And every time I didn't talk about it and it was bothering me and I wish she cooked like her mother and I didn't say it, it became a brick that I was building.
And I used to tell him all the time, look at me in the eyes when I talk to you. Please, can you just look at me? And I don't know what it was. He wouldn't look at me. I think partly we were going through a hard time. We were going through some rough stuff, and he wouldn't look at me. And so as much as I talked to him about it, as much as I said, hey, can you just show me the respect and look at me in the eyes and not be off wondering, doing whatever, in the middle of me talking to you. And so that just built another wall.
And it starts very small. It just starts very small. I know the other thing for me, like I told you, I was just really bothered at her temper. Just really bothered. It used to embarrass me. I mean, she would chase me outside the house. I'd be embarrassed, literally running down the street. I mean, we'd be having a good time at Barnes & Noble's and she would just flip out in front of people. I'm being yelled at. I mean, listen, I'm a man of God, somebody up in here. And that bitterness just continued to develop. It was more layers of walls.
So I would come to him with some of my problems and, you know, I wanted him to just be a friend to me and be caring and just be like, hey, this is something I need to talk to you about. And instead of just getting someone to comfort me, he had to fix everything. Like, you have to fix everything. You always have to have a solution for everything. I know it's kind of a guy thing, but I needed to communicate. That was my job. Let him know that I need you to just listen, but he did not listen right away, and so that created more walls.
And there are different things that happen. For some of you, it may be different things in your house. It could be, I don't like the way he treats my family. That becomes a wall. I don't like the way he treats my family. For some, it's, I don't like the way she interacts or he interacts with opposite sex. I'm uncomfortable when she's at work. I'm uncomfortable when he's at work. He's a flirt. And your spouse is telling you that and you ignore it and you ignore it. And what you don't realize is you're building a wall. For some people, I feel like I'm second place. I feel like his work is more important than me, than the kids. All he does is work. He's married to his job. And your spouse is talking to you. Your spouse has been talking to you for the last year, been talking to you for the last 2 years. And you're not paying attention. What you don't realize is there's a wall that's coming up. It's a wall that's coming up.
Or maybe it's he's always on electronics and he's always doing something else. And again, maybe you feel like you come second to those electronics always, you know, I got to take care of this and I got to do this. And these things are always there and he's not really paying attention to you. And again, that takes communication. So building up more walls.
People have got divorce doesn't just happen. Divorce is built on the bricks of neglect and unresolved issues. People don't just wake up one day and say, I'm done. You neglect somebody long enough, you pay a deaf ear to somebody long enough, while they're crying out, everybody has a breaking point. And that wall begins to go up. And it begins to go up. And before you realize, people can't be together anymore. And it's hurting marriages. It's hurting kids. When that wall comes up.
We want you to know that just as a wall is built one brick at a time, it's also taken down and broken down one brick at a time. And so be honest and communicate with each other. Take those bricks down one brick at a time. Know that it's okay to just be vulnerable, and for ask for what you need. There was a time where I didn't get as many hugs as I needed, and I felt like, can he just read my mind and know and come to me and give me a hug? And it was not happening, and I just kept more and more frustrated, and more of those bricks and layers were being put on. And finally, I just said, I'm just going to tell him, hey, honey, I need a hug. And when I shared that with him and he gave me it, okay, it wasn't coming from him, but it felt better than not getting any hug at all. And I set him on the right path to start to read and know my needs.
This is the picture here. This is the picture. I know people who are together, sleep in the same bed, but this is the picture. Wars started very slowly. It was one little thing after another, after another. How do people who fell in love, who couldn't have enough of each other, reach a place where they sign the papers and they walk away, breaking little kids? It starts very small. Please, 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 let me speak to you here as a pastor. Please, don't neglect the voice of your spouse. Don't neglect. This is a sad picture. And we've been there. We've been there. We know what it means to be here. I remember nights that were just dark and just dark. We'd go into our bedroom. It feels like you're walking into this dark place. My wife would cry out here, crying in the bathroom. And I'd come home and park the car and stay in the parking lot another 40 minutes just because I didn't want to go inside the house. But today, in the name of Jesus, we declare that all the walls are breaking down in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Come on, let's celebrate together. We speak life in the name of Jesus. Let the healing of God reign. Let the healing of God reign. Let the healing of God reign in this place. Please stand if you can. Please stand if you can. Come, Egon, Layla. Let Egon go, Michelle. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we pray. I pray, holding hands with my brother here. In the name of Jesus, we pray for married couples in this place. Everybody that's going through a situation where there are walls that have been built, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Let healing reign in this place in the name of Jesus. Let healing reign in this place in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen and amen. You guys can go. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Father. Hallelujah. Come on, let's celebrate Jesus.